This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, one stat per game. We do this every Friday to get you ready for the weekend. And keep in mind, we got a game tonight, right? And we're going to lead off with that with Miami in Raleigh taking on NC State.
All right, here we go. Each of NC State's two losses this year have come by 20 or more points, contributing to the Wolfpack's minus 16-point margin, okay? Among the 33 FBS teams with at least four wins, NC State's point margin ranks 32nd. UTSA, Pack. Has a 4-4 record with a minus 28-point road margin.
All right, so here's the question.
And can you tell me UTSA's nickname? Can you tell me UTSA's nickname?
Roadrunners. Here's the harder question.
Nice.
Here's the harder question. Calculus or figuring out what you just said? What's harder? Calculus or breaking down whatever that one stat was that you just rattled off? I want you to read that one again.
Calculus.
Right? There's no doubt calculus. Oh, you think calculus is harder? No, I disagree. The stat that you just rattled off.
No, calculus is a lot harder than this right here. This is easy.
That stat's crazy.
It's easy.
That stat will lead a man to drinking, which, by the way, probably not a bad idea the way this week's been going.
No.
33 FBS teams with at least four wins entering this week. Point margin, minus 16, ranks 37. Right. I mean, goodness gracious, what does that all mean?
Yeah. Well, what it means is their total point margin in the course of the year is minus 16. There are 33 teams in college football that have won at least four games. Of those 33, NC State has the second worst point margin at minus 16. The only school worse than NC State is the mighty Roadrunners of UT San Antonio.
Okay.
NC State's had a good year, but their two losses are massive losses.
Right. Got it.
That's why it's minus – their total point margin is minus 16. Wins are close. Losses are bad. Thus, minus 16.
Before people run off the road
and
driving
I hate
to
math.
Work. I know you do. I got a headache just listening to that. Let me just give it to you real short and sweet here. Miami, Manny Diaz, open dates, 0-4 coming off of them. That is all you need to know for this one all tonight. Right. That's the one you got to break. All this plus, minus, 33 here, 4 to the 8th power. Nobody cares about all that stuff. There's not one single person watching that game tonight going, what's the point differential, honey? The Wolfpack's up at halftime. Ain't nobody care about all that. Hey, Miami. Hey, Canes, you're 11th in the country. You got five to play. You got to win out, and you got to finally win one coming off an open date. And the folks in Raleigh have been waiting for you for 2 weeks. That's all you got to know about this. Canes are wearing Stormtrooper unis tonight. Wolfpack's going all black. Let's kick this bad boy off and go. All this margin and four wins. How about the teams with three wins that are in a plus margin? Nobody cares about any of that stuff. Stuff will drive you crazy. Drive you nuts.
Hey, well, we've gotten Friday morning power hour salty Packer.
No, and that's to me, that's that one stat is just a headache, is what that is. That's just too many numbers. It doesn't mean anything. It means zero.
I know math headaches, and this ain't a math headache right here.
Okay.
I know your math headaches. This is not one.
All right. I don't have a problem with math.
All right, let's move on. Let's try this one. All right.
That's that make your eyes cross.
Let's try this one then.
All right. Give me another
one. All right, let's try this one then. Pitt, Florida State, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon right here on ACC Network. We were just talking going to break about how big a game this might need to be for Rashad Weaver and Patrick Jones, defensive ends for Pittsburgh. The Panthers are going to have a chance to win. You know why? Look at this stat. Pitt's defense has forced a gain of 0 or negative yards on 45% of the opponent's plays this year. That's 4th in FBS. How's that?
I'm good with that. That's fine. And there's my man 12. One last chance to see Paris Ford in a replay. I know this. Pitt needs to get Kenny Pickett back. Their offense without him is 200 yards less a game. That's a problem. That's a problem. And Pitt, hey, no disrespect, man. You guys got to stop giving up a ton of scores, right? I mean, they go 0 for October, giving up nearly 35 a game. They got better personnel than that. I told you 20 minutes ago, the want-to in this game, I don't need a stat for this game, Wes. What I want to see is a motivated Florida State team and a motivated Pitt team. That's what I want to see.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure what I'm going to get tomorrow when you guys are cranking that thing up at 4 o'clock.
It's a fair question. It's a very fair question. I think it's one that, you know, and again, we talk about this, you know, want to, where are you? It's November. Both have had tough sleds here a little bit. You know, it's a very fair question, given all the – and remember what we just had, that conversation with Kenneth Walker. Right. All the things that have had to happen to get you to kickoff.
Right.
You know, kind of where are you in November, knowing it's not going the way you guys maybe had scripted it to go, especially in the case of Pittsburgh Pack, where you win three out of the gate, everybody thinks you got a chance. Then you lose 2 1-point games and then, you know, loss at Miami, loss at home to Notre Dame, and all of a sudden you're kind of, you know, reaching a little bit.
Well, the game you did, NC State at Pitt, I think at the end of the year, mm-hmm. you'll look back at that as the Pitt game going, hey, the way the schedule broke, you knew you had to come out of the gate fast because the second half of the season you're on the road seemingly every week. But you had the first four at home.
Right.
Right? They get off to the great start. They're 3-0. They got NC State right where you want them, and the defense is on the field to win the game, and NC State drives it all the way down the field, no timeouts, touchdown pass, game, set, match, see ya. I don't think Pitt's been the same since. I do not.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Let's transition to 12 noon on ESPN2 tomorrow. Over at the fabled Horseshoe on the West Campus, as my favorite announcer used to say on the radio, you get Duke and Carolina. North Carolina only has six, count them, six three and outs offensively, resulting in six in punts in six games. So again, they've only had six three and outs resulting in a punt through six games.
That's crazy. Now, that is a stat. Now, that is a stat that you sit there and you listen to and you go, yikes, are you kidding me? It'd be one thing to say that in the middle of September after just a couple games. Hey, we're in November. Six three and outs. That is it. That is all you need to know on that front. That is, to me, now, that is a great stat. It's not complicated.
Yep.
It's right to the point, and it paints a picture of, boy, that's a problem. That is a problem. Big time.
All right. Let's go to Lane Stadium, Worsham Field, Blacksburg, Virginia tomorrow. Number 25, Liberty. A two-touchdown underdog at Virginia Tech.
As they should be.
Stat of the game. Malik Willis of the Flames, 99 yards per game on the ground. Hendon Hooker of the Hokies, averaging almost 90 yards on the ground. They're the two top FBS quarterbacks in rush yards per game, Pac. How about that?
My man Justin Fuente was bragging about Willis this week, and I remember recruiting him and knew he was a great talent.
Yep.
Guy could play. He could wear a bunch of different hats. Could play. He would have been successful as a defensive back, wide receiver, whatever. He is a talented dude. So we'll talk to Devon Diablo coming up here from the Hokies in about 20 minutes. But I'll just say again, the team that's ranked – is a 14-point dog against the team that should be ranked, AP voters. But that would be an AP problem, all right? So we'll see what happens on this front.
Yep.
I know this. Justin Fuente.
Way,
Justin Fuente.
Stat.
I'll
bonus
give you
stat.
One. All right, go ahead.
Liberty's won eight straight, second longest winning streak in FBS behind Notre Dame.
That's right. And both of those could end this weekend. Who knows? Justin Fuente, too, by the way, 5-9 against ranked teams. 5-9.
All right. BC Syracuse, next on the ledger. Q Cuse has been outgained by 206 yards per game. Last in the ACC, 101 of 103 in FBS. Side note, BC has never won three straight at the Dome / Stadium. They have a chance to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Listen, Syracuse, this has been a weird year. It's been tough from the get-go. You know, it goes back to the want-to again, Wes. These two have played each other for a long, long time up there in the Northeast. They know each other. This game's got a little bit more juice than a normal ACC game would be, probably, that they're playing. You just want to see teams motivated to play. And as I told you, Dino's kept it pretty close to the vest about what they're going to do at quarterback. And I think BC's playing with a ton of confidence. I think Syracuse got their hands full tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, let's go Clemson-Notre Dame here. We got a little bit of a two-part deal here for you. Clemson tomorrow is attempting to earn its first road win against an AP top five opponent in school history. You mentioned that earlier this week. Of Clemson's 12 all-time wins against AP top five, eight have come on neutral sites and four have come at home. To date, the highest AP ranking Clemson has on the road have both been number eight, at North Carolina in the 10-8 game of 1981 and at Miami in 2009.
What would you like me to add on that? When you're 0-for, you're 0-for. And there's two 0-for stats in this game that both sides would like to eliminate.
Yep.
Clemson would like to eliminate the 0-for on the road against the top five, and Brian Kelly would like to eliminate the 0-for versus any top five. So, again, something's got to give tomorrow night in South Bend. There's all kinds of streaks. We've talked all about that a lot this week on the show.
Yeah, and, of course, it's a big game, so that means we got a little bit more for you. For most of the 20th century, Notre Dame, of course, was a dominant force in college football. Last 30 years or so, it's been a kind of different historic for the Irish. Will they fend off recent history and beat Clemson in a battle of new and old powerhouses?
Now the secondary.
Yeah.
We're legendary.
No doubt, the Irish are number one.
Since the AP poll began in 1936, only two programs have recorded more wins against top five teams than Notre Dame. That's the positive spin.
Notre Dame right now just can't do anything right.
If this was a prize fight, they'd call it off.
Unfortunately, the Irish have just a single win in their last 20 games against top five teams and have dropped 11 straight in this category. 59 different programs have beaten an AP top five opponent since the last time Notre Dame did. Alabama has 20 wins against the top five since the Irish last got one. With Notre Dame ranked fourth and Trevor Lawrence out for number one Clemson, it's a chance to turn the tide.
If you ain't worthy, I'll take your throne. I put that on everything I love.
The Irish haven't won a battle between top five teams since College Game Day's first road show in 1993.
Kelly and the Irish are sent home humbled.
We've got a lot of work left to do.
Their five consecutive losses in these games are the longest active streak in college football. Just too shy of the all-time record.
We come to Notre Dame to play top games like this, to play Clemson.
Understand that this is a game that can potentially change your life, potentially change the program.
But history doesn't win games or lose them. All that matters is whether Notre Dame is now good enough to bring these streaks to an end.
Great stuff with Brad Edwards. Always appreciate his contribution to us here on Packer and Durham. Pack, you asked Brady Quinn about this. I think it's been well said. If Notre Dame wants to move toward that status at the top of the college football ladder, they need to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's the only way you eliminate any kind of stigma, right? I mean, there used to be a thing called Clemsoning that a lot of folks in the national media loved, right? Mm. The only way that changes is when you win and win big games and you win them a bunch. Now Clemsoning means, hey, you're putting a title ring on your finger. And so it's the only way to change it. So, you know, Notre Dame's trend here for the last 25 to 30 years has not been great, as that was well documented. They haven't won a major bowl game since 1994. They were 0-4 in the BCS. They got smoked in the college football playoff game by Clemson. Bama beat them sideways in 2012. Hey, there's nobody going to knock Notre Dame's tradition and history, but if you want to get to elite status, you have to start winning these kind of games. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Friday edition, show number 254. For anybody keeping score, one stat per game. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame football. I still think the pressure's on the Irish tomorrow night to see if they can hold serve at home. We'll see how that plays out. They need a big win. Dabo, you already heard from him earlier today. They're ready to go up and play. Hey, next man up. Doesn't matter. If you're hurt, you know, tough. Let's go. They've recruited well. Big-time talent all over the place. Well, it's going to be a good one.
It is. It is going to be a good one. And I think that what we just talked about with the Brad Edwards piece and all the stats that are involved in this comes back to opportunity. And that's what Brian Kelly spoke to his team about here later the week as we get ready for the ball game tomorrow night in South Bend.
Well, we haven't had many of these opportunities at home. It's only the second time we played a top 10 team at home. So last time we did, we took it to Stanford pretty good. Let's go. Let's play the same way against Clemson. Let's play physical. Let's play for four quarters. You don't get many of these opportunities. And to recognize that you gave yourself this opportunity, that nobody would be making anything in this game if you had lost a game or, you know, weren't relevant. You know, it's a privilege to play in these games. There's no pressure. You know, play to a standard. You know, you've got to play great football against a great opponent. We know that. You know that. But enjoy it. You've put yourself in this position. You've been here only one other time at home, and you handled yourself really well. Let's go do it again.
Is Brian Kelly talking to Touchdown Jesus? What's going on there? Did I not get the memo on that? I mean, I'll occasionally do this because
I'm looking up here to see
because Mrs. P sometimes will be yelling at me from upstairs. You know, are you guys in a commercial break? No, we're not. We're not yet. We're still on the air.
What are we doing?
I don't know what was going on there.
Can we get another look at Coach Kelly? See if we can sort out kind of Meg what he's looking at. Do we know what
I think it's
Coach
Jesus.
Kelly was looking at?
Touchdown Jesus asked a question. He's just answering it.
Hey, there he is. What are we looking at, huh? Hey,
what's going on?
What are we doing? I don't know. Who's Brian Kelly talking to?
I'm telling you.
All right, here we go. Now, what's the message to the team, Coach? You know, what are you going to tell them, especially those guys up front? Brady Quinn told us earlier, offensive line will be a huge piece to whether Notre Dame wins or loses tomorrow night.
Yep.
You know, it's four quarters. You know, I think that the most important thing here is that this is going to be a battle of wills. And our guys have done a great job of, you know, playing for four quarters and battling and taking over in the fourth quarter and exerting their will. And so it's really been about talking about we're not going away from, you know, playing physical and running the football. And, you know, this is going to fall a lot on their shoulders, and they're excited about this opportunity that they get to control a lot as to what's going on, you know, with our success on the offense. And, you know, these are the kind of games that offensive linemen love.
Yep. I'm just guessing that there's a television.
Okay.
There's a television above him. And
okay.
And I think he's probably done 8,000 Zoom calls, and sometimes you just get oblivious to what's around you. So I think that my guess is that Coach is watching probably Packer and Durham up there and trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Why are these idiots still on television? Probably what he's thinking. He's probably thinking,
why don't we just kind of do the rest of the show like this. When Divine Diablo joins us in a few minutes, he'll be looking at us and we'll do this.
What do you think? Oh, man.
Huh?
I'm just ready for the games, aren't you? The way this week is gone for me after Tuesday's medical procedure being a movie being filmed down your esophagus, I'm just kind of ready for games, right? I'm just kind of ready to put my feet up and one ice cube and let's let it rip. There's so many good games, not only within the ACC, but from a national perspective. We're in November. I mean, games really start taking shape in terms of conference races and what we could potentially get from a postseason standpoint. I'm just kind of ready. Just ready for games.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Next guest makes his debut on the show. He is from my city, Winston-Salem, NC.
Oh, my God.
Divine Diablo joins us from the Hokies. Divine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We are outstanding. I'm going to get right to it. You or Storm Duck? Coolest name in the ACC. And you can be biased.
Of course, I got to go with myself.
Right.
Divine Diablo.
Right. All right, so what's the story behind the name? There's got to be a story.
Well, my parents told me my great-great-grandfather on my father's side was a Native American from Florida, and they actually had a tribe down there, the Diablo tribe. My father was picked on as a kid because Diablo means devil in Spanish. Right. So he wanted to even it out for me, and he named me Divine.
That is very cool. Now you know the rest of the story. So everybody in the ACC will hear the name on television, Divine Diablo. And every fan who's not a Hokie goes, man, what's up with that name? And if you're paying attention, now you know the rest of the story. But that is very cool. I love that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We had a chance to visit last Friday before the ball game at Louisville, and I was really kind of impressed with the way you talked about how this season has been. And I'll share with you, we just talked to Kenneth Walker in the last hour from Wake Forest, who kind of really said the hard part is not necessarily Saturday. It's the Monday through Friday portion of this and the practice and things like that. And that's where you know that the landscape of what this college football season has really changed. For you guys especially, with all the hurdles and all the obstacles that Virginia Tech in particular has had to go through, Divine, what's this season meant to you, especially as a fifth-year guy?
Well, it's been everything, especially seeing my teammates, what they've gone through. A lot of them had to sit out because of Corona, including myself, and just seeing this team get through that, that's amazing to see, and I'm proud of the guys.
When you quarantine, Divine, I mean, again, I think everybody understands the process and the protocol, but as a player, after everything everybody has been through, right? I mean, this just happened last week, snap your fingers, oh, man, tough break. You guys have been through everything, and now all of a sudden, tag, you're it. How difficult is that mentally? Forget the physical part of it, but mentally knowing, hey, I've done the work, man. I just want to go play. I want to go do the fun part now, and that is, let's go play. Mentally, though, how difficult is that?
It's really tough. I spent 10 days in there. I knew I was missing the Duke game. I had hope for the Carolina game. They ended up telling me I couldn't play that one either, and it just killed me, man, because I, like, prepared for it all summer, fall camp, went all through all that just to miss two important games that we really needed. It's tough on the guys that were there, too. Tyler Matheny stepped up big time for us, and I appreciate him, but, yeah, it's really tough, and I can't imagine, like, all the players in college going through that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right. So now you get a chance. You're back in form. You guys are close to whole. I don't ever want to say anybody's whole because you don't know from week to week, right? But last Saturday, you guys get a chance to kind of play it in both ways. You forced turnovers. You got the interception. You were one of three picks the defense had during the game. Hendon played great. Khalil Herbert, another 100-yard game. In some sense, do you feel like it, hey, we've gotten to November, guys, but maybe our time is still to come and you guys are working that way?
Yes, sir. I feel like this team is getting better every day. The offense did an amazing job this past Saturday. The defense, we have to do a better job of playing all four quarters. We slowed down at the end. We can't do that with the teams coming up. So we just got to keep getting better every day.
The team you just played in Louisville has got so many offensive weapons. It doesn't matter. Running backs, quarterback, wide receivers, they got speed. Anybody can touch it anywhere on the field. If you miss a tackle, off to the races they go. Does that help you now seeing Louisville and taking care of business last week when now you look forward to Liberty? Because Mr. Willis is a slick dude back there, quarterback now. You know that.
Yes, sir. It actually gave us a wake-up call that we needed. We took tackling circuit seriously this week. Well, more seriously, I should say. And this team we're about to play in Liberty, they have a lot of weapons at every position, just like Louisville. So we got to be on our A game.
Devine, what's been the biggest change once you guys have kind of gotten towards whole from a roster perspective? Have you been able to kind of sort out the playing personality of this team? I mean, Hendon obviously went through some of the situations where he had to sit out for a time or two, and now it looks like he's rounded into form. Herbert and Raheem Blackshear have given you guys a run game punch. It looks like defensively, I know you're hoping Jermaine Waller's able to get back soon. I mean, it's got to feel pretty good where you guys stand again and just the two losses.
Yes, sir, it feels great. And like you said, just two losses, so there's still a chance for us, and we're just going to keep playing and attacking every day, like we can win out. That's all I got.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. Bud Foster was a legendary coach at Virginia Tech, great for college football, one of the all-time great defensive minds, and he had a chance to sample his genius. So what's it been like in the transition with Justin Hamilton now coming in? What's the biggest difference in terms of just like a regular practice or preparation or whatever from a Foster scenario versus what Hamilton's doing?
I would say the biggest difference is Coach Ham actually coaches the safety, so he tries to put us in the best position possible for us to be successful, and I really appreciate him for that. He also makes sure all the other positions get the same treatment, but I feel like he has favorites in the safeties.
I like it. So you come, not necessarily a teacher's pet, but you figure that, hey, he understands the issues that you see, whether it be a practice, a game, or whatever the case may be.
Yes, sir, exactly.
How about from a personality standpoint? How are they different on game day, Foster versus Hamilton?
That's tough. I feel like Bud Foster tries to be more calm on game day, and Coach Ham, he just lets it all out. He wants us to show up. He wants us to show energy out there, so I feel like that's the biggest difference.
Devine, let me ask you something, and I'm curious with this. Do you think that is his natural tendency, or do you think because of COVID, and you know what, you don't have 65,000 going bonkers at Lane Stadium, that you've got to kind of generate your own energy on the sideline? What's the story there?
Like, it's a combination of both. Coach Ham was bringing the energy last year as well, but it's a little extra this year just because we don't have a lot of fans out there, and which is understandable, but yeah, he brings it every time.
Yeah.
Devine, you got two guys on the defensive coaching staff, Coach Ham being one of them, Darrell Tapp being the other, that actually played at Virginia Tech, right? I mean, I know there are more guys affiliated with the program who are also former players, but I mean, you guys realize how good those two guys were as players?
Well, I knew how good Tapp was. I didn't know how good Coach Ham was, to be honest with you. I did check out some of his highlights, though, and he was attacking the ball. Like, he was diving on huddles. Yeah. I don't think you can do that anymore, but, yeah, he was having fun out there.
Don't let him know that. Now, Devon, might be too late now that you said it on television. You don't want the coach to understand. Well, I knew who Tapp was. I'm not sure who this guy Ham is. I'm not exactly sure who that dude was. He may be your best bud as that safety deal, but that may come to a screeching halt after that statement right there.
Yeah, you may have just kind of killed the ride, Devon. I'm not not telling tales out of school here, but you may have just hurt your own deal there.
Let me take you back to your hometown, which is my hometown, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. You're going to take me out to dinner. Where are we going?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Ooh.
Where are we going?
I'm a big fan of Japanese steakhouses, so I'd probably just take you to, what was it called? Got the name of it.
Pressure's on.
Oh, it's been so long.
Pressure's on. You got to
Arigato's. Arigato's. That's the name that I remember now.
You got it. It was third and four. Okay. You got to get off the field. You're going to make a play. You just made a play, my man. You just made a play. So the little Japanese steakhouse, that's an interesting call. But that'd be cool, though, right? Growing up in Winston-Salem, it's a great town. So, again, that's an easy trip to Blacksburg. So what sold you on Virginia Tech?
Coach Wiles actually did a great job recruiting me. Every time I came up here, all the coaches treated me like family, players, the fan base. They knew I was a crew, and they just treated me like I was already a part of them, and I thought that was pretty big.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, no doubt.
Yeah. Sir. Hey, thanks for the time. Good luck tomorrow against Liberty. I know you guys are... Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot.
If you don't have a question, I'm loaded with questions. Wait a minute, Durham. I know you want to get ready for Pitt, Florida State tomorrow. We're not ready for that yet. So, Devon, here's the deal. You got a chance for a major makeup. That was a big getting off the field on third and four of the Japanese Steakhouse. But here it is. The hardest class that you've had at Virginia Tech has been what?
It would have to be math 15, 25, or 26 at the EMPO. Because I had to teach myself.
You had to teach yourself. What's the story there?
What? Whoa, what?
Well, EMPO classes, they're online, so you have to teach yourself the math.
Oh, boy. Wes,
how
about
that? They offer tutors, but yeah.
Hey, Durham, how about that deal? Hey, let my partner handle that one right there. You got to teach yourself math, Wes.
Really? You got to teach yourself the math? I was so bad at math, and I had teachers. You got to teach yourself the math?
Yes, sir.
Come on. No, that's not, what kind of math are we talking about?
To be honest with you, it was my freshman year and I don't even remember. I was so bad at it.
He's just glad it's over.
See?
Just glad it's over. That's what he's glad. Just glad this thing's done, period.
So done. Yes, sir.
All right, I did think of this. You've made some plays behind the line, okay? And we had this conversation a little bit last week. You got four career interceptions. Two of them have come this year. Last week at Louisville and NC State earlier in the year, right? Those are the two this year.
Yes, sir.
Now, you've also made some pretty big hits. And we went through the whole Cam Chancellor thing last week. And, you know, my partner Roddy Jones was actually hit by Cam Chancellor and has just regained his breath 11 years later. So I think it's worked out okay for him. But you like the physical nature of football, but yet you also find the football for picks. Have you got a preference one way or the other, the contact piece or the interception piece?
That's tough because I like both. Especially when blockers come at me, I just love hitting them, getting off the block and making a play. And then interceptions, you got to love that. Turning the ball over, getting the ball back for your offense is big time. So that's really tough. It's about 50-50 for me.
Well, let me ask you this one. I started this interview asking you the question about your name. I'm going to end it about your name. Would you rather be Divine or would you rather be Diablo?
I'd rather be Diablo for sure.
Yeah, that's it. That's the defensive guy in you right there, my man. That's all about defense right there. That's all about the D right there.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Well, best of luck, man. Stay healthy.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the week. Still work to be done. West Durham, you'll be able to check him out tomorrow. Pitt, Florida State. I got a little work to do this afternoon on the radio show. And then it's time for the weekend. Yeah. And I'm ready for the weekend. In fact, what I'm really ready for is a bacon, egg, and cheese. And a little Cajun filet on the side chicken sandwich. That would be perfect right about now.
Wait. There we go. Can we get it?
No.
Where's the machine?
There it is.
There it is. There it is. Bojangles weekend menu. Friday staple on Packer and Durham. You know how this plays out. We got a doubleheader of football for you tomorrow. Liberty at Virginia Tech, high noon. Pittsburgh, Florida State at 4 o'clock. And then Women's Sports Sunday, high noon from Chapel Hill. The ACC Field Hockey Championship Champ Game. Right there it says, right there on the thing. So we got that for you tomorrow. Sunday, rather, noon, right here on ACC Network. Now, we have also the final weekend of the ACC. Is it soccer? We got soccer as well coming up. We got all sorts of different things on the table. So we got a bunch of stuff. Men's soccer final weekend of the regular season. The championship kicks off on Sunday, November the 15th. Seven teams have clinched spots already, Pack, in the championship for soccer. The winner of Notre Dame-Louisville on Friday will claim the last spot in the ACC tournament. Notre Dame, by the way, if it's a draw, will clinch the eighth spot, joining Clemson, Duke, Carolina, Pitt, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest. So there you go.
A couple things I'd like to say before we get out of here. We've had a number of games around the country postponed and or canceled this week. Wes, we're now into November. And, you know, you got the whole flu thing that's out there. COVID obviously hasn't gone away. One thing I kept harping to you over and over and over months ago was my concern about what happens when your season gets away from you. Are teams going to still be mentally disciplined enough to do all the necessary things just to have a chance to play? We've had a lot of games postponed this week. Obviously, one here in the ACC with Louisville and Virginia. The good news is the flexibility issues from a schedule standpoint allow the league to be able to pivot. You're going to get that game hopefully next week. I am concerned about that. And, that's why I mentioned to you, I'm curious to see what your game looks like tomorrow with Pitt and Florida State, two teams that really kind of fall into the category of what I'm talking about in terms of, hey, they're not having the years they want. Now we're into November. Are you still willing to do all the little things necessary just to play a game? I hope we get, number one, a great game. I want to see both teams get after each other from a passion standpoint. But I do have a concern as we move forward now into November if we start to see that number kind of snowball a little bit. I mean, here's the Pac-12 getting started for the very first time this weekend, and already they lose a game with Washington and Cal yesterday. Mm-hmm. We know about the issues Wisconsin's been going through now with multiple games postponed, and the Big Ten, as we know, has no wiggle room whatsoever to try to reschedule. So everybody's kind of operating at a different pace in terms of when you start your season, how many games you can get in, can you stay, once you get on that tightrope, can you stay as long as you can? And, we're still going to have some disruptions and some starts and some stops and some movements and all that stuff. So as we roll into November, I'll just emphasize again for all fans, embrace what you get. There's just simply no guarantees as we move forward. And while we're excited here in the ACC with what I think is going to be a really entertaining game tonight with Miami and NC State, and obviously the biggest game in college football this weekend involves the ACC with Notre Dame hosting Clemson 1-4, just grab them, man. Just enjoy the games and appreciate what all of these student athletes and coaches and schools have done just to give you the opportunity to enjoy the sports that you love, whether we're talking football, soccer, field hockey, whatever the case may be.
Pack, I think we heard from Kenneth. We had a good chance to visit with Kenneth Walker III from Wake Forest earlier in the show. And I think in a small way, he kind of typified the way most student athletes at the collegiate level have to be feeling right now. in that he used the word bubble, I think, three different times, did he not, in talking about this. We've kind of been in our own bubble since June. Talked to Pat Narduzzi yesterday in preparation for our broadcast tomorrow. He said, you have to remember we have been at this since early June in some cases. Now, practice didn't start until later, but they had to get back on campus. They had to acclimate and isolate and kind of quarantine, right, before they could even start lifting weights in small groups, practicing in small groups, things like that. And that's when we asked the question about the intensity it takes Monday through Friday to play on Saturday while we continue to, as adults, hopefully, go through our lives and do our daily things and be cautious and try and stay safe around loved ones and everybody else that you have. We're all having to make sacrifices in the pandemic. But this extra activity, and this is why I've said to you, I'm concerned about how we're going to get to basketball. But I think it's important as we move into November to realize just how tough this has been on student athletes. You're seeing young people at the field hockey championship, young women compete in Chapel Hill. They've had to go through the exact same thing the football players have had to go through. The bubble atmospheres, the lack of social interaction, all the things, the way they digest academics, things of that nature. That commitment level, they're to be applauded, as are the coaches, as are the administrators, and certainly the medical people involved. And Coach Narduzzi talked about that yesterday in our visit, about the medical people and the administrators that have been so supportive of trying to get us to some degree of normal as it relates to college athletics this fall.
And that's 5 months we're talking about now, right? That's not, hey, oh, the season just started. No, that's 5 months you've been going through this grind. So, again, a tip of the hat to all the student-athletes, the coaches, the schools that have really give us the entertainment value, being able to, number one, call the game or, in my case, sit on the couch and watch all these games. One other thing, too. Yesterday, Clemson basically said men's track and field cross-country not going to be able to make it. And this is going to be the reality, unfortunately, in college athletics. It kind of started 2 months ago with Stanford when they cut 11 programs. And Clemson's had an incredible tradition, actually, with their men's track and field cross-country. When you start talking about 23 combined ACC championships, 16 individual NCAA champions, 22 Olympians, 4 Olympic gold champions. And that is a sad, harsh reality. And so, again, for the players, the coaches, Dan Radakovich, I'm sure that was a tough call. Wes, that is reality right now in college athletics.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.